Oh, my Lord, can I have that first slide up on the screen, please? The one that says hope. I'm going to close it. Roger was given a nice table to put his thing on. I wasn't. That's okay. I want to talk about what we have, which is one word up there. Christians have hope. And as we finish, and we have about another 12 minutes left or so before lunch is served, and we leave here, and we all go our different ways, and we say our goodbyes, we've got to know that although we're united here, when we leave, we also bring something with us. We bring a common hope. And we've got to understand what that is. Alexander Pope, the English poet who lived in 1688 to 1744, I hope you're impressed with Wikipedia, said the following thing, penned the famous words, "Hope springs eternal in the human breast." And that's been cut down to "hope springs eternal." And you see, we have a powerful message of hope to bring. This is not just because we call our church Hope. Our church ended up being called Hope because it used to be Hemingway's Opportunity for a Peaceful Environment. That was the title of our work, and eventually just we shortened it and the people called us Hope. But we have a powerful message. It's the hope for mankind. And I typed into my little iPad this morning, and I wasn't watching the automatic spell checker, and it actually came out for, instead I wanted to write hope for mankind, hope of salvation, and it actually came out as hope for mankind, whoopee of salvation. It's here. WHOOPEE, whoopee of salvation. Because if we don't actually walk around going, whoopee! I am saved. I found the living God. If we don't go like that and go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, it's quite good some days. Some days it's bad. Some days the pastor's asked me to do something. Some days nobody phoned me. Oh, for goodness sake, grow up in the message you already have, which is that we have Jesus Christ, our Lord, and nothing can make it any more whoopee than that. We have what? Life eternal. We have comfort through the Holy Spirit and an ever-present companion in our lives. An ever-present companion. Who here was ever lonely at a time of their life? Hands up, please. Who was lonely at a time of their life? Right, you have an ever-present companion in your life. The Holy Spirit that dwells and rests within you. Fantastic. And we get this when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. 7 billion people, they say, live in this planet. I don't know how to count the numbers because there's people all over the place that have never been counted, but they kind of estimated 7 billion. We even had a photograph during the week of a baby. 7 billion baby. Well, we can argue that one. It was a cute looking kid. But in the 7 billion people, let me tell you the simple fact that the only ones who carry through hope are followers of Jesus Christ. For he is the hope of all mankind. So I don't care if there's 7 billion. What I do care is that there's an active, mobile, aggressive, if necessary, church. We need to be more provoking in situations. We need to step into situations and say, excuse me, I'm not settling for this. I see no hope everywhere. I see drugs ripping through communities. I see families breaking down. I'm not standing for it. I'm going to step in there and I'm going to talk about the hope of salvation, the hope that we already have. Let me use there's a Romans 15 verse 4. It's nice to introduce scripture when you're ranting. Romans 15 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So there's a call for each of us to get that book out, that Bible, the iPad version, the app on your phone, whatever it is, and go to the scriptures and read about the one who brought hope to mankind. Start, if you're a new Christian, I say start with the New Testament, but don't forget the old one, because it tells the whole story of God's plan of salvation. It's the foretelling. It's the prologue, I forget which works out. It's the one before the main event on the cross, but it isn't that diminished. It isn't like the nasty second movie, which isn't really worth going to. It's an amazing story in the Bible. Let me show you what happens when hope comes. You see, when hope comes, it just needs one little spark of hope. Among the communities, we need a message of hope among communities where hope is not a reality. There are too many communities where if you actually speak to people, do you have any hope for the future?
No.
What are your hopes?
No.
This young lady here, like the word young, this young lady's going to work in Marsh Farm in Luton. That's a place famous for no hope. She's stepping in there. We prayed for her this morning, and God just gave me a word for her about he'll hold her right hand. She's going to step into situations. She's going to bring hope. She's going to speak simple words with enormous power. And I believe it. I really do believe it. And you see, we need these communities to hear about hope. And we have this huge resource called VIA and Spirit Connect and beyond. It's called the church. One church. There's not different churches. There's one church. We are one church. Different expressions. One church. We're the ones with hope. We can bring hope into our communities. And it's necessary at this time. At this time when unemployment is rising and people are worried about the homes, when drug and alcohol addiction in young people, 13, 14 years of age, been admitted every single weekend in this country to the A&E to get their stomachs pumped out. Where we have, you know, young people who think their only identity is to give their body to a guy who says he loves her because then he'll stay if I give him my body, and they end up in just a relationship, which is a nightmare. We need to be the ones who help redeem the land, who help pull back. And I don't worry about the numbers. You know, if you change one life, we say in the Hope Project, if we work all year long and do everything we do, Kay in the cafe saying, well, all I did this week was serve tea and coffee and fry up the big breakfast, best value breakfast in Wellingborough, and fry up big breakfast and did this, and it wasn't exactly much of a spiritual week, but one of my volunteers was there and she told me about what she's facing and I had a chance to talk to her. If we ran everything we did in the Hope Project in Wellingborough all year long and we saw one person saved and the life transformed, it is all worth it. I'm not into numbers because that one person could be the mother of a family and the children of that family will begin to grow and say, what happened to my mum? Look at my mum. Look at her heart. And we heard this morning about the whole family being transformed. And so the work we're doing now and the work that John has done, the work we're doing, will go on for the next generation, long after I'm gone, and the next generation, and the next generation. That's the power and the message of the gospel. But we carry it. Nobody else carries it. I do not want somebody standing up there talking about the joy of having a spiritual experience. Stuff you. Get off the... If you can't tell me that you've got hope in your heart from Jesus Christ, get off the stage. Because all you're doing is touching people at a small level. Spirituality. It's all over the community. It's all over the... They're reading horoscopes. They're trying to go and get... You know, and Rachel's coming in with a phenomenal thing. Give me a dream and I'll interpret it. They don't know it's been interpreted according to the Spirit of God, but they'll learn it. So we have to be innovative. Let me show you what happens. Well, I've put up a slide there, a powerful message of hope to be found in Jesus. I think it's obvious. But I want to show you what happens when you get one spark goes off in the middle of something here, and hopefully this will work. Look at that shockwave going out there. This is my business, by the way. Look at that shockwave. I've got a few ones more for you. Wait, you're going to have fun here. There's two more slides. A single spark can ignite it. We spread the news, and then one single spark of the Holy Spirit ignites all of that. And then look what happens. There is power. That is nothing more than a bit of liquid exposed in air and one little spark. So you could be the spark to change and transform a community. And there's something else about hope. It ripples out. It never stays still. When we look at this one, it ripples out. You start hope and you will never know what impact you're having on the lives of others. You will never know how far that wave will go through generations, through families, through the children, to the grandchildren, to the great-grandchildren. You will never know that the young person that we invested in this weekend will be Prime Minister of England. His name is Adam Trundle, by the way. Will be Prime Minister, will be a minister, will be called to service, the Foreign Office, in business or whatever. We will never know how much that ripple is going to go in this community. But we do know one thing. This land, this nation needs hope. Can I just say that now, more than ever, this nation and then throughout the world, they need to find this hope. There's no hope in banks or institutions left. There's no hope in property prices. You know, we lived in Grendon in our house, and every so often we'd be told just how much our house was worth. And we're going, oh, that's fantastic. It's amazing. If I'm not moving home, it doesn't mean a darn thing. It didn't mean a thing to me. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. I need all these extra bedrooms because people keep coming staying. Yeah. Anyway, so we don't know hope in property prices. No hope in pensions and investment plans. I used to have a pension. I put some money into it. And then I realized at the end of the year that I put more money in than I actually added to my pension that year. And I thought, that doesn't make sense. Buy stamps. John saying, buy stamps. And then they say there's no hope in society. I want to give you something about society. The only true society that produces hope is society with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The definition of society is this: a group of people related to each other through persistent relations, or a large social grouping sharing the same geographical or virtual territory, subject to the same authority and dominant cultural expectations. There's a definition of society for you. Well, we share, Christians share a persistent relationship through Jesus. We're a large group who share the virtual place as well as the physical place. Virtual calling eternity. I'm not downgrading eternity. It's there waiting for us. We are subject to the same authority and dominant cultural expectations. Who here agrees that Jesus is coming back? There's a dominant cultural expectation. Who here believes that Jesus loves you and cares for you and wants to bless you? There's another dominant cultural expectation. And we will be with our Father for eternity, and we will see his Son come in glory. We are therefore, we have something to offer a broken society. We have a society of Christians. We're already a society. This society isn't broken. This society has health. This society has hope. You have the gospel. You have the understanding of what it was before Christ in your life. BC and AC, after Christ, in your life. You know the full picture already. You may be walking through it, and Bernie and I are journeying through it, and I'm so glad that John said, you know, they're not perfect, and they're cracked, and they're limped. I actually, the word I had was that God says, I'll have you with a limp and all, is what he said. And I'd rather have a limp than go off and race and do things on my own strength. So guys, Oliver Goldsmith, I had to bring in an Irish poet because I gave you an English poet at the beginning. Oliver Goldsmith, the Irish poet, wrote the following thing: hope, like a gleaming taper's light, adorns and cheers our way, and still, as darker grows the night, emits a brighter way. The hope that we have is not going to diminish when you get into a situation which is darkness. All it does is shine brighter. You strike a match on the darkest of nights, and people say, we'll see it 5 miles away. You walk into darkness, you strike a light, you bring faith, you bring hope, it will shine. We're an army, we're a grouping, we're under a VIA banner, we're under a Spirit Connect banner, we're under Pioneer National, and we're under one banner, and the banner says, Jesus. So the flag over all of us is Jesus. Our territory, Jesus. Our leader, our King, our Master, Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. Because there is, I said that, by the way, that was a double thing. It doesn't get any better than that. Because there is no one higher. There is no King greater. King of kings, Lord of lords. Is that true? Do you believe that? Now, last scripture. One thing I want to say about when we bring hope. We need to move and translate this hope to everyday situations. Get your hands dirty. Get your feet leather worn out by walking around your neighborhoods praying for them. Get into the towns. Get into the estates. Get into the places where young people are hanging out. And if you haven't got the courage yet to go over and tackle them with their hoodies and talk to them, then walk around them praying for them. Can you imagine a group of hoodies and somebody's doing this around them going, yes, Jesus, Lord God, bless these people. It just, you don't really have to be that bad. But you can just quietly move by them, and then God will give you a boldness of spirit, and then you'll be able to bring it to them. We're an army, a grouping, a society of hope. Speak it plainly, speak it directly. I find it's better. Speak it plainly, speak it directly. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to leave this conference abounding in hope by the Holy Spirit.